Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered with knowledge that will cause you to rise up and become who God wants you to be. Now, let's join the new series, Those Who Honor. Today's message is, Those Who Honor God.
So we're going to talk about honor this month. We're going to discover the lifting power of honor. This is a subject that is very close to my heart because, you know, growing up in the Christian faith, to be honest, I was not introduced to this subject. Maybe that could even be your case as well. Like, there are certain subjects that I knew about, you know, the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, salvation, Calvary, Golgotha. Those basic things, I knew about them quite, maybe not fully, but to some degree, I knew about them. But there are certain other elements of the kingdom that for some reasons I was not introduced to at that time. I only got introduced to them a bit later in my Christian walk. And I'm trying today to catch up and help those that are with me to not fall into the same trap I fell into. And one of those has been the value of relationships. One of those subjects have been loyalty and disloyalty. And like I'm introducing to you this morning, one of those subjects is also honor. Honor. These are very important things. And many a times we are not well equipped on them. And we pay a high price for our lack of knowledge. I guess Hosea was right when he said, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. So I'm trusting God that this month knowledge will come, understanding will come, and you will continue adjusting yourself where it's needed so that what God wants to do can start happening.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What does it mean to honor somebody? To honor somebody, number one, means to show great respect. To show great respect. I know in the body of Christ, we think we are all the same. I know the generation we are living in today is a dishonorable, disrespectful generation. That shows no respect and no honor to nobody. They don't show any respect to values, show no respect to laws, show no respect to regulations and principles, and to people, including authorities. And this accounts to a lot of the misfortunes that we find ourselves into because the scriptures cannot be broken. So to honor someone is to show great respect. Great respect. I want to insist on that. Is there anybody in your life to whom you are showing great respect? Number two is to acknowledge somebody. To acknowledge somebody. If you are having a celebration in your house and a dignitary has come to be part of your guests, and you are thanking people and you don't thank them, you've shown dishonor. When you acknowledge the presence of a person, you are honoring that person. When you acknowledge the presence of a certain guest, that's why when people have programs, they mention names of certain people. It's not just a cliche, it's to show honor to those people So for you, when you are having your thing, you are saying, ah, we are all the same. I greet all of you. You all came, so it's okay. Oh, people are not the same. And that is costing you a little bit. I'm sure you're already learning something. Just as I'm teaching. So to honor is to show it, you acknowledge, to show great respect. And depending on which cartel you're coming from, great respect is shown in many ways. It's shown in many ways, in many forms, to show great respect. That is, you are honoring a person. Then you acknowledge the person. Acknowledging the person also means you actually look at them. You look at them when they are talking to you. Do you imagine coming to your house, entering your house, and your children are watching TV? You enter the house, and none of them acknowledges your arrival. None of them stands up to come and greet you. None of them stands up to come and say hello to you. It's an act of dishonor and disrespect. They are not acknowledging the presence of the authority that has come. You will find people on their cell phones. You are talking to them. They are not looking at you. Their heads are on the phone. They are answering you while watching their phones. They are not acknowledging you. They are not acknowledging you. They are disrespecting you. And those of us that are doing that, I hope you are learning. These are acts of dishonor. When an elderly person is talking to you and you are on the phone, you are answering him while you are typing. It's dishonor. To honor means you acknowledge. Whatever you are doing, you drop it. You acknowledge the person that has arrived. I'm sure you've seen sometimes when some dignitaries arrive in a place, we stand up. It's an act of acknowledgement. We are acknowledging that the president has arrived. We are acknowledging that the chief has arrived. We are acknowledging that the pastor has arrived. Many times when I'm standing on stage, people are asked to stand up. It's an acknowledgement. Even though some of you don't do it, you are saying that, who is pastor? Pastor is a human being like me. Why must I stand up when he's going on stage? Is he not a servant? This is our hearts, I'm showing you. Number three, to honor somebody means to celebrate the person. You celebrate what is being done to the person or by the person. You celebrate it. You celebrate it. You are not quiet about it. You don't turn a blind eye on it. You don't do as if it was normal. When you are in the presence of great results, you show honor by celebrating them. You don't look at them and say, ah, no, there's nothing there. Anybody could have done that. You celebrate. And that's why at ABC, I want us to be able to celebrate one another. Yes. To show honor to one another. Yes. When somebody has produced something, you know, you need to celebrate it. Like I was saying to you guys not so long ago, people are so used to discouragement that a little encouragement can make a lot of difference. Let's have that culture of encouraging, celebrating one another. It shows honor when you celebrate. And it also shows honor when you attend somebody's celebration. Like this afternoon, we're going to go to honor the invitation of our dear brother and our dear sister. It's a celebration, but we are showing honor by going physically and being there and celebrating with them. And it can be dishonorable if somebody invites you to his wedding and you decide, you say you're not coming. It is viewed as dishonor. I hope you understand that. Yes. Lastly, to honor means to reward. To reward or to award. I'm sure you've noticed from time to time you see people that have achieved a number of things being given awards. Why are they being given awards? It's because we are honoring their achievements. We are recognizing their achievements. We are recognizing that they've done something. So they are receiving awards for what they've done. It's an act of honor. We are honoring your contributions. It's a way of honoring the person. I mean, you can find a guy, he's so rich, he doesn't need money. But a little award will show that you value the contribution he has made. And another way to honor is to reward. To reward. It's an act of honor. It's an act of honor. And we're going to be going through them as I take you through the year, I mean through the month. You will learn different ways these things happen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, the Bible teaches a lot on honor. Honor, you see, I'm saying I didn't learn about these things, but it's not because they are not in the Bible. It's there. The Bible teaches a lot about honor. Look at Romans 13, verse 7. The Bible says, render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs are due. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. It's interesting to me that honor appears in the same verse taxes are appearing. You see, taxes are not something you decide to pay or you don't pay. Are you listening to me? When it comes to taxes and customs, these are things your opinion doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, the government doesn't even ask you, are you paying or not? They take it from you. You get like, they don't ask you your permission about these things. They just take it. Because they feel it's due to them. It's not yours. And that's why when you are found to not have been paying your taxes, it is a criminal offense. And you get arrested for that. Are you listening to me? So therefore, let me submit to you this morning that if therefore taxes, not paying your taxes can be a criminal offense, then dishonor is a criminal offense. Because they are in the same verse. Then the same way not paying your taxes will lead to serious consequences. That's why people that dishonor you end up with some serious consequences. And sometimes they don't know where it's coming from. But you have to understand, these things are in the same verse. If I read the New Living Translation for you, it says, give to everyone what you owe them. What you owe. I'm sure you understand what it means. When you owe somebody something, you owe. It's not like you are choosing to. No, you owe. You owe it. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them. And give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Now, who are in authority? Number one, God is in authority.
Yes.
Number two, your father is in authority. Your mother, depending on if your father is no more there, she's in authority.
Yes.
Your husband is in authority. The Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife. They are not the same, please. It's not the same thing. Are you listening to me? You see, our point is that we don't know where to draw the line. And this ends also to serious problems. Your teachers are in a position of authority. When somebody stands before you to teach you, he's in a position of authority. You need to show him honor. People in the army and government officials are in positions of authority. That's it. Our country has turned into a place where anybody says anything about anybody. Now let me say this respectfully, people of God. Even when our fathers have done mistakes, is it up to us children to stand in public television and embarrass them before the whole world? Is that how it must be done? Even if they've done wrong, even if it's a mistake they've made, is it right for you to stand in front of the whole world and embarrass your father? No, 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 no. You know what you are doing? You are teaching us how to treat you. When it is your turn there, you've already shown us that we must never respect authority. We must never respect people that are in power. And what you have done to them, we will also do it to you. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That's what is going on. Come and see how we speak in parliament. And this culture is being spreading all over. Because to some degree, it seems like it's going unpunished and with impunity. But let me bring the word to help us. That listen to me, these things have consequences. They do. They surely do. Give respect and honor to those in authority. Not to those in authority that do everything perfectly. We don't know what you will do when you will be there. Those in authority. Your pastor is a person in authority. Your shepherd is a person in authority. These are people in authority. We will be looking at all of them this month. And why you should show honor to those on. Because you yourself tomorrow, you will be in a position of authority. And if you have sown dishonor, I don't know what you are expecting to reap from that thing. Let's start this morning quickly. Today's message, those who honor God. Those who honor God. God. John 8:49. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon. On the contrary, I honor my Father. And you dishonor me. Whose Father is he talking about? He's talking about God, his heavenly Father. I honor my Father. Jesus came to teach us how to live. One of the things you do with the heavenly Father, apart from praying to him, is you honor him. I honor my Father. Always remember that Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. So you need to know how to behave and how to relate with the person you are relating with. So Jesus is teaching you in your relationship with God is not a relationship of boyfriend and girlfriend. It's not a relationship of, I don't know what how you are viewing it. Yes, it's a relationship of a father and son, but then Jesus is telling you that in that relationship, the son honors the father. That's what you should remember. There are two groups when it comes to God. There are two groups only. And God himself introduced us to them. Hence I said, please choose the right one. 1 Samuel 2:30, the Bible says, therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father will walk before me forever. But now, the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So, God is introducing us to the two groups he is dealing with all the time. God has two groups that he deals with. And he introduces them. Say, those who honor me and those who despise me. There are no middle grounds. You belong to a group. You might be belonging to those who honor him. And you could be belonging to those who despise him. God did not give any other group here. So there's no other group. Only these two groups. You are either honoring God or you are despising God. Please help me ask the person next to you, which group do you belong to in these two groups? Which one do you belong to? I was reading the book of Prophet Rick Joyner. The book is titled When God Walks the Earth. When God Walked the Earth. In that book, God showed him a vision of how Jesus was living on earth. Like it was like a movie. Real. Jesus, God showed him what Jesus was doing, where Jesus was going. And he had a chance to see Jesus. When Jesus went to the house of Zebedee, Zebedee is the father of James and John. Remember those two disciples Jesus took and they became his close disciples? Now, Jesus is having a conversation with Zebedee, the father of these two boys. And I never forget what Jesus told Zebedee. You know what he told him? He said to him, "My father has always felt honored in your house. That's why we have chosen to also honor you by taking your two sons to save me." That is the statement Jesus gave Zebedee. Jesus told Zebedee that my father has always felt honored in your house. That's why we have decided to also honor you by taking not one of your sons, both of them. Imagine the 12 tribes of the 12 disciples of Jesus. Zebedee has two places in there. What an honor. But it's interesting to note that Jesus told him, "My father has always felt honored in your house." Question: what was Zebedee doing? That made the father feel so honored in that house, so much so that he picked two of the sons to say, "You're going to be my apostles." And one of them became the apostle of love, John the Revelator, who wrote the Apocalypse, who wrote the Gospel of John, who wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. What did he see in these guys? What was Zebedee doing that made the father feel honored? Please understand, honor is a big deal to God. Honor is a big deal. When you are dealing with a high authority, everything hinges on your honor. How you respond, what you're going to do. And as far as God is concerned, honor is a big deal. It's a big deal. So much so, I even came across an interesting thing. I've always wondered also, why Jabez made it? The guy who was cursed from the womb, the mother even cursed him with the name. But he's the one who prayed, "Lord, that you will enlarge my territory. That your hand will be upon me." Oh, and the Bible says, and God granted him his request. Why? If you look at 1 Chronicles 4 verse 9, you find the answer. The Bible says, Jabez was more honorable than all his brothers. So Jabez knew something about honor more than his brothers did. That's why even though he was cursed more than all of them, the fact that he knew how to engage honor caught him out. Are you listening to me? Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Whether it meant that Jabez was receiving more honor, but it has got to do with Jabez and honor to some way. That's the main characteristics about Jabez, that Jabez has honor. And because of that, his prayer is answered. What was Jabez doing that made him honorable? What was Zebedee doing that made God to feel so honored in the house of this man? Well, we're going to start quickly. Let me quickly tell you first. God already tell us what we usually do, and that is not what he wants. Do you understand? Because that, as I'm just saying, I think I've been honoring God. I've been telling him, "Lord, I honor you. Lord, I honor you. Lord, I honor you. Lord, I hail you." You know, we have this, I hail you, King. I hail you, King. We say those things. Matthew 15, verse 8. These people draw to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Already you are learning there that this honor we are talking about here this morning is not about saying, Lord, I honor you, Lord, I hail you. Or you are, it's not even about praying, like you are praying a lot, because you can be doing that just with your lips. So when we're talking about honor, what was Zebedee doing? Was he praying for hours? Was he worshiping? What was he doing that God felt honored? And what is it that even though when we do, God still doesn't feel honored? So how do I honor God? Because I want to be, I don't know about you, I want to be among those who honor God. Yes. Hallelujah. And I pray that that will be your story this morning. You are among those who honor God. And now God says that to honor him is not just a lip service. Because many people give him a lip service, but their hearts are not with him. Seven ways to show you honor God. Number one, those who honor God, spend time with him. Matthew 26 verse 40. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour. How much time do you spend with me? Those who honor God. It's not about saying, Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord. No, no, no. How much time do you spend with him? Because I want to tell you something. The way you spend time reveals what you honor. If you are dating two guys at the same time, you will quickly know where your heart is. It's where you spend most of your time. Like the one with whom you don't mind the time passing. Like you don't care how much time. You don't mind. When the other guy, you're always taking the time. You say, you know what? I have to go. You say, you don't love him much. You don't love him much. So the best indicator of your honor is your time. Your time. How much time do you give God? He gives you 24 hours a day. How much of that time do you give back to him? Let's talk about it. God gives you 24 hours every day without failing. Now, 24 hours is his gift to you. And what you do with your 24 hours is your gift to him. So I'm asking you, what do you do with the 24 hours that he's giving you? It reveals your love for him and your honor to him. The time you are spending, the time you are willing to spend, shows who you honor the most. Christians today are the busiest bees around. Hey, they are busy for God more than anything else. When it comes to God, they are very busy. Ooh, we don't have time. Hey, we don't have time. Our biggest problem is that we don't have time. And we don't have time for God. I mean, that is the reality. That's the reality. So we honor him with our lips. But our heart is somewhere else. And that's where we spend time. What we honor. Isaiah 40 verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord also wait. You just come and wait on the Lord. You wait. So, Pastor, what am I going to do? You wait. We're doing what? Nothing. You wait. Pastor, I'm very busy. I have a lot of things to do. How can I just come and wait? You see, that's the problem. That's the problem. You show your honor by your ability to wait. To wait. Can you wait on the Lord for one day? Like you sacrifice this day and you say, this day, I'm not going to do anything. This day, I'm going to give it to God. Do you know how many days you've been giving to funerals? They are uncountable. Stupid things that had no leg and no. Do you know how many days you've been giving to those things? And I said, you gave one day to God in a retreat. You can't. You can't. We've never, some of you have never had a retreat in your life. You've never gone someplace just to be with God. And you are saying you honor God. How? Even when you are on holidays, you don't give God any retreat. Where you go in a place and you and your Bible and your study book and you are just there, you and him. Oh, you will be feeling so bored. I mean, the disciple couldn't wait 1 hour. 1 hour is too much. 1 hour. Hey, 24 hours are nice. Amen. What are you talking about? Just 1 hour. You can't wait. Those who honor God, give him time. They don't mind spending time being in his presence. And you see what happened when you wait on him? He renews your strength. That's what happens. You think you are wasting time, but you are saving time. He renews your strength. You start mounting up when others are going down. As you are spending time with him, waiting on him, honoring him, by the time you come out of there, if you are at level 20, you have ascended to level 50 or 60. Without any noise, you are just rising. You are just rising. Because you've honored him. Because you've honored him. Because you didn't feel spending time with God is a waste. Because you didn't feel spending one day with God is a waste. That same day you spent with stupid boys, stupid things, you decided to redeem your time and be in his presence. The Bible says redeem the times because the days are evil. One of the ways to redeem the time is to spend it with God. That is how you redeem the time. You redeem the time by obeying God, but you also redeem the time by spending time with God. You spend time with God. They shall run and not be weary. I didn't know that waiting will make you run. But you are waiting, yet you are running. You are running. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, I love Lamentations chapter 3 verse 25. It says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. The Lord is good. So, you people must stop saying God is good all the time. Look, God is good to those who wait for him. Those who wait for him. Those who spend time with him. He is good to those ones. I see you joining that group in the name of Jesus. Those who honor God. Those who spend time with God. Those who give their time to God. It's an act of honor. I have honored you if I have given you 30 minutes. I have honored you if I have given you 1 hour. Or I have honored you if I have given you 5 hours. Man, you don't know how you have honored God when you give him a whole day. When you say, Lord, this day I'm giving it to you. It's your day. You can do with me whatever you want. Do you see it's different from just saying, I hail you. I hail you. Can you wait on God? Can you be with God for the whole night? You know, it also matters whom you give your best hours. The Lord Jesus, when he was on earth, he will give his early hours to the Father. Who do you give your best hours? Some of you give your best hours to Facebook. You give your best hours to Twitter. When you are tired, then you come and rabble a small prayer to fall asleep. Oh yeah. But when you have energy, when you have strength, you give that strength to other things and other people. TikTok and Instagram. And talking to people all over. But you are not giving your best time to God. Your best hours. Even talking of time. You know that God has not been honored when you come to Him. You are giving Him your old age. When you were young, you gave yourself to the devil. Now that you are old and nothing is working, then you're not coming to God. God is honored when you come to Him as a young girl. God is honored when you come to Him as a young man and you say to Him, I'm giving you my best years. I'm giving you my best days, my best moments. God is honored that your best has gone to Him. Your best. Your best. I see a generation is rising in this church of men and women who will honor God. Men and women who honor God, who don't feel spending time with God is a waste. But who have understood that's the best I can do. Verse 26 of Lamentation 3 says, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. But our generation, we don't wait. Especially for God. Oh, we can wait for other things. We can wait for the 25th to get paid. We can, oh yeah, no, we don't mind. We wait. We wait. We don't mind waiting. We can't just wait on the Lord. That's the only problem. That we don't wait on Him. We don't spend time with Him. So that's your first. The first way we honor God is by giving Him time. Not empty words. Check the number of time you give Him. Then ask yourself, is it honor? Or what is it? I see us changing in that area. Amen. Number two, those who honor God place Him above everyone else. Those who honor God place Him above everyone else. In other words, in your life, nobody comes first except God. God had a serious problem with Eli. And I'm going to read it to you. 1 Samuel 2 verse 29. God is rebuking Eli. And Eli is the person God cares more than any other person in the Bible. There's no other person in the Bible that God cares the way He cares Eli. In fact, He told Eli that by the time I'm done cursing you, people that will hear the curse, their ears will tingle. And I want you to understand, the sons of Eli were serving with Eli in the temple, but the sons of Eli started misbehaving. When people come with sacrifices, the sons of Eli will take the sacrifices and eat for themselves. When young girls come to the temple to pray, the sons of Eli will take them and sleep with them. And when Eli get the report of this thing that his sons are doing, the only thing Eli says is that, my sons, I don't like what I'm hearing. I don't like what I'm hearing. Change your ways. Change your ways. God says what? Is that all you have to say? Now God is talking to him. Listen, God says, why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offerings, which I have commanded in my dwelling place? And you honor your sons more than me. You honor your sons more than me, God says. So God saw how Eli is treating his children and how Eli is treating him. And God said, no, no, no. This guy honors his sons more than he does me. You honor your wife more than you honor me. Oh, you honor your husband more than you honor me. Oh, you honor your boyfriend more than you honor me. Oh, you honor your girlfriend more than you honor me. Do you realize that God cares about the honor you give people? He says you honor your sons more than me. Those who honor God, place him above everybody else. This is not an easy one. Because in so many ways, we find ourselves putting other people before him. I promise you. In so many ways, as we are here this morning, every one of us, one way or the other, another thing becomes more important than him. Acts 4 verse 19, Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. Is it right to listen to you or to listen to God? You'll be surprised at how people judge that question. They will say, no, it depends. I think it depends on the problem that is prevalent at that time. And then there are certain times where it's better to listen to men than to listen to God. It depends on the situation. You'll be surprised. Number three, those who honor God, give him all the credits. All the credits. All the credits. When you honor God, you give him all the credits. Proverbs 3 verse 6, the Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Recognize his hand. Recognize that he's the one behind it. Acknowledge him. I told you that honor means to acknowledge. Acknowledge. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge that his hand is the one that is doing that thing. You'll be surprised how we become Superman by ourselves. In Deuteronomy 8 verse 17, the Bible says, he did all this so that you will never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and my own energy. I have achieved this job with my degree. I got married because I was beautiful. Do you acknowledge him in the happenings of your life? Or he's only called upon when there's a problem, when the solution arrives, we take the glory for ourselves? Do you acknowledge, do you give him the credits? It's a way of honoring God. When people are saying, I know we saw you were working very hard, you are coming to work early, and they say, no. That cannot, listen, if you are thinking that is what got me where I am, then you are very misled. Because I know that where I am today is not by might, is not by power, is by the grace of my God. It is only by his power that I am here. Yes, sir. And you have been finding us struggling to also try to have a little credit for ourselves in that whole thing. The grace of God was there, but I was also there. We're working together. We're co-workers. I love David. In 1 Chronicles 29, 12 to 14, he says, wealth and honor comes from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power. To exalt and give strength to all. To all. Any strength you have comes from God. Strength to go to work. Strength to do anything. It comes from God. So I don't know why you are claiming anything for yourself. I don't know why you are claiming. He said, strength to all. Strength to all. Including you. Now, our God, we give you thanks. When you realize that everything comes from him, all you can do is to thank him. You just say, Lord, hey, take the glory. Take the glory. So, our Lord, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name. Then he goes on to say, but who am I? And who are my people? That we should be able to give as generously as this. Everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. We have given you what you gave. I mean, I can imagine people said, ah, but David, I remember this gold. We had the one, we went to fight there and we killed the Philistine and then we took the gold. How are you saying everything came from God? Those who honor God, give him all the credits. As people start getting seriously in trouble with God when they take credits for things God gave them. Ask Nebuchadnezzar. God made him eat grass for 7 years for opening his mouth and saying, Babylon the great, that my hand has built. God said, your hand? Your hand has built? Problems. He will never share his glory with you and me. And part of you staying in this journey with him for long, learn to honor him. Give him all the credits. Always return the glory to him. When God has exalted you, go on your knees and lift him up. Always lift him up. Never feel as if you are too big to lift him up. And that is our problem, is that as he lifts us up, we stop lifting him up. We start lifting ourselves up. We start lifting ourselves up. That's what King Lucifer, little lifting, he start feeling he can actually, I can be like this guy. What is the difference here? Him and I mean, we are enjoying the same things. And God was quick to remind him, not here. Lord, help us. In the name of Jesus. Number four, those who honor God, obey his instructions. Honor is not just saying things. It's doing things. It's doing things. And I want to be precise by saying, obeying the instructions when the person is not there. That is true honor. That's why God felt so betrayed by Adam and Eve. Because he gave the instructions very clearly, then he left. Another person comes, says something else, and the instructions of God are discarded. I want to tell you that God is honored when you are doing things in an environment where Christians are not there. Like you are there alone with people that don't know God, but you are behaving in a way that glorifies God. That honors God. Jesus is no more on earth to check us. But when we behave in a way that does as if he's here, he's honored. He's honored. John 17 verse 4, the Bible says, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. I have brought you glory. I've honored you. How did I honor you? I finished the work you gave me to do. I finished the work. I didn't just start it. I finished it. You see, God is glorified when you follow his instructions. In the book of Matthew 28:19-20, it tells us, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you till the end of age. You see, that instruction he gave us. We bring him honor when we follow that instruction. You might not make a lot of noise in the church, but if you do this, you have honored God. Why am I saying that you have honored? Because you are obeying an instruction when the instructor is not there physically. The instructor is no more there, but you are obeying the instruction still. So you are honoring the words of the instructor. That is where Adam failed. I believe if God was there, Adam was not going to eat the fruit. But now God was not there. Adam said, hey, you know what? Let's just try. I'm trying to say, people of God, this morning, when you behave well in the church building, it's okay, but that is not where you are really tested in honor. Your real honor to God is tested when you are outside the church, when you are alone in your house, when you are in your community, and you are still displaying a behavior that is as if God was there physically. Then you have honored God. Which takes me to number 5. Those who honor God represent Him well. They represent Him well. I'm sure you realize in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then, we are ambassadors to God. What is the job of an ambassador? To represent the country that sent him, wherever he is. And ambassadors got called back when they say one thing that the government didn't say they should say. They say, hey, they recall you. Hey, they don't talk like that. You are an ambassador. In that office, you are the ambassador of God. In that classroom, you are the ambassador of Christ. The Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. Are you taking care of the embassy well? Where you are, an ambassador. When you arrive somewhere, you are not there for your own interests. You are there for the interest of the kingdom that sent you. That is why you are there. That is why the Bible says you are an ambassador. You are representing a certain kingdom, and that kingdom is called the kingdom of heaven. So when you enter a shop, an ambassador has entered the shop. When you enter the mall, an ambassador has entered the mall. When you enter anywhere you enter, ambassador has entered. And the interest of the kingdom must be defended. Starting with your behavior. You know, there are certain ambassadors that do not represent their kingdom well. Huh? They go to the country, start colliding with the other country to extort money for themselves. Number 2. You are a witness. He says in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be witnesses of me. You are a witness. A witness is a representative. You are defending the case of somebody else. In Matthew 5:16, he says first in 14 that you are the light of the world. Then in 16 it says, let your light so shine before men. We are representing. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And look at what they will do. They will glorify your heavenly Father. So you have honored God. You see, when you behave well, God is honored. You see, your light is shining, but people are honoring God. They may glorify your Father in heaven. So when you behave in a certain way, that's why when Christians go in places and they pop on Christianity, it is the name of the Father that gets thrown down. And people start saying, ah, these are the Christians. This is what they do. Oh, is that how you behave in your church? Is that what is happening in your, is that what your pastor is teaching you? Then you have failed to be the ambassador. You have failed to be the witness. You have failed to be the light. You have failed to honor your Father. I'm trying to tell you this morning, every time you behave yourself well, every time you honor the kingdom of God, wherever you go, you are actually honoring God. Yeah. When you look in your life and in your life and there's nobody and you still don't do anything wrong, you are honoring the kingdom of God. You are honoring God. You are honoring the seed of God that is in you. equally true. When you misbehave, you are dishonoring God. Mark 8:33, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed. God is saying, if we are ashamed to represent him before sinful people, we are ashamed to say who we are. We are ashamed to stand for the truth. We are ashamed to honor God in front of sinful men. He says he too will be ashamed of us. May that never be your portion in the name of Jesus. Number 6, as I close quickly. Those who honor God, give him their first and best. Their first and best. Are you listening to this? I'm showing you 7 ways you honor God. 7 ways. Your first and best goes to God, not your last and least. Malachi 1:6-8. A son honors his father, and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due to me? You see, honor and respect are more or less the same thing. Says the Lord Almighty, it is you, priest, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt to your name? He answers, by offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame and diseased animal, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. The next time you are giving something to God, ask yourself, if I was going to take this to the governor of my state or the mayor, your offering, if I wanted to take this, like I'm going to see the mayor and I have an appointment with the mayor, and at the end of the appointment I want to give the mayor something, if this is what I was giving the mayor, hey, will he take it? Have you thought about that? Those offerings we are bringing to God, he is asking us that. Try to take those offerings to your governor. Will he accept you? So Proverbs 3:9, he explains how we should do it. He says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit, first and best, like what is valuable. Yeah, that's honor. You see, honor is different from just giving. You can just give something, but when you are talking about honoring a person, no, you can't just take anything. Like some of us, when it's offering time, then you throw your hand in a pocket and you do some lottery there. Check. You've learned even how to identify the coins by touch. Yeah, you don't need to see. You just touch. You just, and you say, yeah. And then you come and throw. He says, try to give that to your governor. He will be pleased with you. And can I tell you something this morning? If you are ashamed of your offering, how can God bless it? You yourself, you are ashamed of it. You can't show it plainly. You can't give it with confidence. You are ashamed of it. How can God bless it? I'm not saying it should be the whole mountain. Whatever it is, let it be genuine from your heart. If it is from your heart, remember the woman, the widow that gave 2 drachma. Jesus said she gave more than everybody because of the disposition of her heart and what was in her hand. So it's usually not about a big sum of money. It's usually in comparison with how God has blessed you. Genesis 4:4. I'm almost done. Abel also brought a gift. The best portion of the firstborn. That's what he brought. From his flock, the Lord accepted Abel and his offering. May God begin to accept you as well. Amen. And your offering. Amen. You see, God is interested also in what you are bringing. Let offering time not just be a time where we are just dropping something. No, you get nothing from that. Do it with honor, dignity, and value to the God you are serving. It can be one rent. But if it is done in honor, God will bless it. It can be 10,000 rand. If it's done in dishonor, God will curse it. Lastly, those who honor God receive his servants. Those who honor God receive his servants. Luke 10:16. Then he said to his disciples, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. Anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. I'm going to be teaching you this month about honor. And I'm going to show you how to honor those God sent to you. This morning, the focus is honor God. Honor God. You can never honor man if you can't honor God. Honor God first. I pray that this month, your awe for him, your honor for him, the place he has in your life and in your heart, oh, will expand. All familiarity towards him, all shabbiness towards him, all shallowness towards him, that will quickly fall back into over time, that let this message be a wake-up call to you again. That you will be able to spend quality time with him, with his word. Whatever you do for him, you will do it with dignity and honor. That you will not be an embarrassment to the kingdom wherever he sends you. Oh, but that wherever you go, you will leave the fragrance of Christ. People will smell Christ where you are. His glory will be revealed in and through you. You will not be contaminated, but you will influence your environment with the God that is in you. I want you to start believing in the greater one that is in you. Jesus told us that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do not allow the world to tell you that they will influence you. Believe that what is in you is stronger. And put it to the test. And see your God work. See your God work. Well, this morning the Bible says he came to his own. His own did not receive him. But to those who receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Before I close, I want to pray for those of you that are saying, I am saying yes to Jesus. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If that is you at the count of three, you just raise your right hand. You are saying, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be born again. I want to receive Jesus. Jesus is the gift you sent to the world. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him, whoever receives him. That is what I'm doing this morning. I'm introducing you to Jesus. He's the gift of God. He's the one God sent to us. If you can receive him this morning, you have shown great honor to God. Great honor to the sacrifice God gave. Great honor to the gift God gave to us by receiving his son in your heart. At the count of three, I'm going to humbly ask you to raise your right hand so I can pray for you so that Jesus can enter your life. 1, 2, 3. Please raise your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. In fact, I'm going to ask all of you to stand up wherever you are in the building. Just stand up. And you can raise your right hand right where you are. And Lord Jesus, I want to accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. You can take your hands down. Now you are also in this building this morning. You are born again, all right? But like you know yourself, the honor level has gone down. Very, very much down. In fact, some of the places where you are, people don't even know you are born again. Just like the prodigal son, he left the father's house, went and started spending with prostitutes, all kinds of things. But the father's arms are always open wide, ready to receive you. This morning, you can come back to the father. I know you've been condemning yourself, asking yourself, can God forgive me? Yes. Yes. Jesus can forgive you. Don't condemn yourself when Jesus is not condemning you. He's saving you right now. Come to him. Come to Jesus this morning and let Jesus have his way in your heart. Let Jesus cleanse you. Let Jesus make your life whole. Give Jesus a chance to help you. At the count of three, you are saying, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to God. Oh yes, I feel his presence. I want to pray for you right now. 1, 2, 3, your hand up. I want you to commit my life to Jesus. God bless you. What a blessing. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Take your hands down. We're going to pray together. The Bible says, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. As you have honored the Father this morning, you are saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. God will also honor you back. We're going to pray this morning and the shepherds will take over from there. Let's go. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again. That I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.